Sometimes we go through trials that are so hard to bear. We lift our face toward heaven, saying, God, are you really there? I've asked that same question. Yes, I've been down that road, but looking back, I now can tell.
Thank you, Karina. Great song for us tonight. Let's all stand, if you would stand briefly here. We're going to read a couple verses of scripture tonight. It's been a great day, and I hope you've thought about the Lord and what he has done in your life. I always think about it a little bit more because Easter Sunday was the day I got saved, and it's a life-changing, eternal, or not just eternal, but also a life-changing event. It's because of Jesus Christ. Numbers chapter 11, please. I'm going to read 10 verses here. We'll look at this partial story and make a few comments today. Numbers chapter 11. We'll start in verse number 1. It says this, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. We need to stop right there. By the way, we all, you know, we're going to talk about complaining tonight. Now, we're not going to talk for it, okay? But all of us, for some strange reason, we struggle with that. We complain when we have no right to. And so, I have no idea what he was saying, but as long as he stays awake, I'm good. We all struggle with it. We don't have a right to, but it's human nature, so... we're going to look at that tonight, but when we just kind of throw it all together, that's kind of the whole crux of it right there. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. God was upset about it, and he heard what they did, and some of the people were being judged because of their complaining. And the people cried unto Moses, verse 2. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Well, if you read those verses, they complained, God heard it, he got upset, they got judged, and I'm pretty sure they're going to learn their lesson. And so they can move on and not have that problem again. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? That didn't take long. I mean, right off the bat, the next sentence is, we're complaining again. We remember the fish which we would eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it into a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. They're complaining again. And the anger of the Lord was kindled. There's another word there, though. Greatly. Moses also was displeased. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. And Lord, we're going to talk about something tonight that sometimes it creeps into all of our lives. And we complain when we really have no right to. And so, Lord, I pray that you would teach us some things. Help us here, Lord, to be more thankful to what you've done in our life and not to complain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I like the Old Testament. You know, some people are like, you know, just, you know, we're New Testament Christians. And we are. I get that. I'm a Bible Christian, though. You know, like, just read the New Testament all these times. And just, I like the Old Testament. It's probably because I identify with these guys, okay? There's something that fascinates me about the children of Israel, especially during this time when they came out of Egypt until they get in the Promised Land. It kills me. They had unbelievable experiences with the power of God. They saw God firsthand do all kinds of miraculous things. They heard the voice of God. They brought him to Mount Horeb, and God spoke. Now, God didn't let them see him face to face, but they heard his voice. They had deliverance from a very, very hard bondage. God miraculously was providing for them. Every morning they went out, and there was their food waiting out on the ground for them. All they had to do was pick it up and eat it. God gave them many promises which he was fulfilling. And yet, you think about all these things God did for them, and they usually got it wrong. A lot like you and I. Not much has changed about humanity from creation until now. That's why I like the Bible. The Bible is point blank, it's true, it tells the good with the bad, and so we kind of get it because that's us. Here is just another instance where they get it wrong. This is another place where one of their most heinous crimes comes out. Now we look at it, we think of their sins, it's not immorality. And by the way, they struggle with immorality. God did not want them intermarrying with the people of the land there. God told them to stay away from them. They were idolaters and idol worshipers, and don't intermarry with them. And yet you look throughout, what were they doing? They were doing that in a very immoral way, by the way. They rebelled against Moses. That's pretty bad. They worship false gods. I mean, when Moses went up to the mountain, he came down. It's like they couldn't even wait 40 days. They already had a gold calf they were worshiping. But I think if we look at all their sins, there's one common sin we see throughout their wanderings. You know what it is? It's complaining. They're just griping and complaining about everything. This is what's happening here. We saw in the first few verses how they complained and God judged them, and they didn't learn a thing. They go right back at it and say, we're sick of this food. We want meat. And if you read through the story, they get what they asked for. They get the meat. God says, in fact, because he was upset with them, he says, I'm going to give you so much meat, it's going to be coming out your nose. And then when they start to eat the meat, God says, before they were even done chewing, he got upset with them. And he started judging them again. God is not for complaining. If you wanted to look at this chapter, it's like God hates complaining. What is complaining? Complaining is, in essence, us saying God doesn't know what he's doing. Complaining is believing that I deserve more. Complaining is believing that God is not in control. He doesn't know what he's doing. Complaining is saying I don't trust God to meet my needs. And complaining is saying I'm not grateful for what God provides. But why did they complain? Why is it you and I complain? Even though we know deep down in our hearts, if we're saved, that God takes care of us and God is good. But why do we complain? I see in this story six reasons why they complained, and maybe some of these reasons are why you and I sometimes, occasionally, complained. Let me give them to you. First of all, I think they complained because of an uncommitted influence. Look at verse 4. It says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Where did it start with? It started with this group of people that came out of Egypt with them. The Bible calls them a mixed multitude. Who were they? Some of them may have been Egyptians that decided to tag along with them because they the judgments and look, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, Egypt was not in good shape. Their army was drowned. If you look at all the plagues, their crops were ruined. It was not a good time for them. Maybe some of them decided that they needed to get out while they still could. Maybe some were some servant and slaves that took this opportunity to get out from underneath what was going on in their life and follow the Israelites. Maybe some of them came along and they had good intentions. But whatever the group was, they were not committed to the Lord like the Egyptians were, like the Israelites were. You see, not only the Egyptians came out of Egypt, but they were still Egyptians. Israel came out of Egypt, but Egypt never really came out of Israel. And here's this group, and this group starts to complain. They weren't as committed. And the Israelites start to follow after them. You know, the easiest way for us to become a complainer, and I think specifically as we look at our Christian life, and we start to think about what God is doing, and we start to complain, and it's never enough. Sometimes we're around those kind of people. See, if we're around a person that's not committed, they're not going to talk about the things of God very much. They're not going to be really into the things of God. And if we're not careful, that rubs off on us. Or maybe there's just someone there, they just constantly complain, and that rubs off on us. Complainers. There will always be people that complain. Always. We need to be careful. That is true in the church. I've mentioned before, usually those in the church that complain the most usually end up doing the least. Now, sometimes, and we learned a new phrase. When Brother Bob was here, how many remember Brother Bob would help us over at the building? Bob had a phrase, if you worked over there, we all know what it is. I'm not complaining, I'm explaining. Okay? And I understand that. So, you know, look, if you see something going on in the church that's not right, it's not complaining to come explain it to us, all right? Are you with me? But complaining is just having a bad spirit about everything. And sometimes there are people like that. Now, thankfully, we have a great church, and we got a lot of great people, and that doesn't happen very much. But if we're around people that aren't committed and they're constantly complaining, that rubs off on us. And we need to be careful. You know, I think people complain about everything. I think there's people, Brother Ross, that when they die and go to heaven, they're going to complain up there too. It's too bright up here. How come the angels are always singing? You know, why are the streets made out of gold? Why couldn't they have been silver? Okay? People can complain about it. By the way, say, how do you know? Because I can complain about anything. I guarantee you what frustrates a wife. You know, a husband comes home and she cleaned the house up, and you come home and there's one thing out of order, and that's all you notice. Hey, how come we didn't put that away? And the wife's like, brother, I just put 95,000 things away. And you're going to notice the one thing I didn't put away? By the way, let me help you guys. If you want to have a good marriage, you better notice everything. Honey, do you? The worst question a lady can ask a husband is, honey, do you notice anything different? That's not fair. It's like, you know, I don't. I dyed my hair. Well, I said, well, why would you want to kill it? You know, I mean, that's a bad question. You got to notice things. But some people just, look, the less committed a person is as a Christian, the less they're into the Christian life, so the more they're going to be negative towards the Christian life. And if we're not careful, we allow them to dictate what we think. Some people are like that. You know, some people, I used to like going to church here, but I guess, you know, so-and-so said this, maybe it's not that good. Or I used to like working at my job. I thought it was a good job, and then I start hanging in a break room, and these guys are pointing out this, maybe I don't like my job. Or, you know, like when you were in school, not if you went to our school, but when you were in school, it's like, you liked that girl, and you thought she was pretty. It's like, wow, that's a good girl. And then you're with your friend, and he doesn't know you like her. He says, oh, that girl over there, she's this. And it's like, well, I guess he knows what he's talking about. But that's how we are. We're influenced by people who complain. Let's be careful. Let's make sure our friends are those that have a lot in common with us. The thing, they ought to love Jesus Christ. But that was their problem. They had these uncommitted people that they were allowing to influence them. Secondly, they had unchecked desires. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Now, what is lusting? When we think of lusting, we usually think of immorality. Word just simply means desire, desiring. What they were doing is they decided that they wanted not what they had, but the things that they desired. Now, being the fact that we are human beings, we live in this body of flesh, our flesh is sinful. And our flesh desires a lot of times things that aren't right. That's why we have to fight it, okay? And that's just how it is. Our appetite, when you first start serving God, your appetite a lot of times it still has that arrow towards that which is wrong. And your appetite changes as you grow as a Christian. I mentioned this morning music in the church. When I got right with God, I didn't listen to the right kind of music. I didn't listen to choir people, okay? The choir I went to were like rock concert. That's what I liked. And so I knew it was wrong. And I quit listening to it, and I'm like, I'm not going to listen to that church stuff. Now, God bless them. They're doing a good job. But I just won't listen to music. I just need God and the Bible. You know, I was a Pharisee. I just need the Bible. That's all I need. But, you know, as I went in the church and as I listened to that, God changed my desire. I started liking Christian music. And so now let me say this. Brother Ross, I could go somewhere and they play an old song that I used to listen to somewhere like, Five Guys, the hamburgers are good, but the music is right up my alley. I got to be careful. And they could play 100 songs in the background, rap, and, you know, that does nothing for me. But, man, they'll throw something on. It's like, I used to listen to that. And can I just tell you something? You say, but you hate it now, right, because you like church music. No, I still like it. I like it. Yeah. That hasn't changed. I just know it's wrong. Okay, and I've killed that desire. God's given me an appetite for a new music. But my flesh, when it hears that music, the flesh still says, hey, you remember? Remember when you were back in Robert's garage and having Bible studies? Yeah, we used to play church music. Church of Satan. But the flesh still says, hey, I'm still here. That sounds good. We all have that. Now, that's not wrong, as long as we say, flesh, be quiet. We don't. And by the way, that's why you got to kind of stay away from the places that have that, which is what you would struggle at. You know where Satan tries to get us? Those desires we struggle with. If you have your Bibles, flip over to James. How does that relate to complaining? Because when our desires start to take over, we want that which we're not going to get in the Lord because it's not right. And so we have a negative spirit towards the things that are right. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Talking about temptation here. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, here's the key, when he is drawn away of his own what? Lust. I can tell you where Satan's going to tempt you. Where's your desires? Now, I'm not saying this it's bad. When I was younger and before I was saved, I drank. That's what we all did. But I never drank because I liked it, Brother Ross. I did it because that's just what we all did. I just want to be part of the crowd. I didn't say it tastes good because, to be honest with you, it tastes like hairspray. But I did it because that's just what we did. By the way, can I say when I got saved and right with God, that was easy to give up. Like, I don't need, that's good. Okay, the music, that was at the very end. Okay, that was the rough one. But so if Satan's going to tempt me to go back to where I was, it won't be with alcohol. That wasn't me. Okay? But he knows those areas of my life that were struggles for me. And if he's going to tempt me, he knows what my flesh is going to ping towards. And that's what he's going to go after me. Unchecked desires. Whenever our desires get out of control, we're headed down a wrong path. We have to let our spiritual man take over. See? I joke about it. Yeah, that music still appeals to my flesh. But, man, you know, I like godly music. What I didn't realize is how could I go from the stuff that I used to listen to listen to the stuff that was being sung in church? Because when I got right with God, the Spirit of God started to take over my life. That connected with the Spirit. See? By the way, let me say this. That's why those that gravitate towards that Christian music that says it's Christian and has that whole worldly connotation, they come in here and say, well, what's this music? And I remember when we started the church in Monterey Park, I was thinking about that because the song Karina sang, she sang that the very first Sunday at the new church in Monterey Park, the very first Sunday we started it. But I was over there for the first 2.5 years, and all these people were coming in, and they're like, and they'd see us after church. I remember the very first Sunday, this lady came up and said, hey, is that how your worship is going to be on Sundays? I'm like, no, I know it. Say, what do you mean worship? Putting Jesus first? Yeah, we're always going to put Jesus first. But I know what she meant. They mean worship as in they associate worship with music. By the way, music isn't worship. Now, it can lead you to worship. A worship is an attitude of the heart where we start ascribing worth to our God. But some people don't, we have to have that certain type of music because that appeals to the flesh. The Spirit appeals to the music that honors and glorifies God. Well, you know, we want to use music to reach people. Show me that in the Bible. Music was never meant to be an outreach. It's meant to put our hearts in tune to God and sing praise to a holy God. But we got off on that. Why do we sometimes complain about the things of God? And when I say that, I'm not saying you, I'm saying us. Because sometimes we let our desires take over. We need to be careful about that. Number 3, uncontrolled emotions. And the children of Israel also wept again. Verse 4. You see, now they're getting caught up in this emotional frenzy. You know, first the uncommitted people, and then the lust and desires are getting involved, and now it's like they're all standing around crying about how horrible everything is. Things aren't that bad, but they allowed their emotions to get out of control. When we start to complain, our emotions get out of control. And now things seem worse than they really are. Well, see, when we're emotional, everything's horrible, and this is never going to work out. And when your emotions calm down and you think about it, it's like, you know what? It's not that bad. But that's how emotions are. We get our uncontrolled emotions. Why were they all emotional? Bottom line, they didn't get what they wanted. You ever see children? My children have done it. Your children have done it. Daddy, mommy, can I have this? No. That doesn't play. Don't let them get away with that. Oh, I hate when, look, those little kids, they look cute, okay? They look so adorable, but man, they are as slick as can be. They play you like a drum, okay? As soon as you say, okay, you can have it, oh, I'm good. I'll be all emotional. Fact of the matter is, we do that with God sometimes. I didn't get what I wanted. Things didn't work out. I won. Everything's so horrible. It's not that bad. By the way, being emotional will not make it better. Being emotional will actually make it worse. Watch our emotions. By the way, if you ask a person that's made a horrific decision in their life, whatever it is, after it's all said and done, if you were to ask that person, how were your emotions when you made that decision? I guarantee you they weren't good. If you're all emotional about something, that's okay, but don't make a decision. Well, this job is driving me nuts and it's crazy, and I'm quitting. Give it a day. Because tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll feel okay, and it's like, it's not that bad. Here's one. I'm sure none of you have ever done this. You send an email. Someone does something to you, so I'm going to let them know how I feel. And then you hit the send button. Boom! I feel so much better. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, you look at it and say, that's rough. I didn't mean that. How many of you have ever done that? Let's be honest. I have done it. Text. You know what text is? Instantaneous email. Right? You send someone a message. You regret it. I did this yesterday. This has nothing to do with it, but it's good. My wife was texting people about Easter yesterday, and she texted someone in our class, but they had changed their number. And she didn't realize it until after she texted this person. Well, the person who had the new phone number said, hey. They didn't respond. They just responded back and said, hey, I'm updating my contacts. Send me your picture. So my wife brings me a phone and says, this isn't the right number. This person wants my picture. I said, I got it. So I went online. I got a picture of Frankenstein's bride. I copied it, and I pasted it. I sent it to the guy. So that's what your wife looks like in the morning? Just kidding. No. Just kidding. Just kidding. What were we talking about? Jeez. No, that's what I look like in the morning, okay? She wakes up, looks like an angel. But then again, so does Satan. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Come on. Stay with me. But you grab that phone and you're angry, and what do? Whammo! And you think email's instantaneous. You have to wait for them to get the email. They get the text. You know what would be a good habit when you're mad at somebody? Just do your email, and I mean just let it go, but don't send it. And then in the morning, read it again. You're going to say, man, I'm glad I didn't send that. Because that's our what? It's our emotions. Don't let your emotions cause you to make a bad decision. You know, you're arguing. I'm sorry, Christians don't argue with their wives. They have disagreements. And you say that thing you shouldn't say. And I mean, the words barely come from your lips, and it's like, can I grab those back? Let me give you the answer. No! Too late. Sleep on the couch. But be very careful. Don't let your emotions. We complain when we're emotional. Everything's worse. God, why are you doing this to me? And it's like, it's okay. Things are going to be fine. Number four. They ask here an unbelievable question. Who shall give us flesh to eat? Now they're whining to God. The question is ridiculous because it's a slap in the face of God. You know, God had taken care of them. Don't they realize it was just a short time ago they were in Egypt? I mean, they didn't even have to plant. They woke up in the morning, they walked out on the land, out there on the ground was food for the day. But they gripe. Who shall take care? God was already feeding them. God had already shown his care for them. God had a plan for them, and yet they still complain. We complain about what God's doing in our life, don't we? How come you're not doing it this way? How come you're not giving me this? I want it this way. Let me just tell you something. God knows what is best for you. And by the way, in the moment, you may not know, you may not understand that. That might be something you have to understand down the line a few steps. But again, we like to know everything right now. And so we question God. Don't ever question him. Let us remember his promise. Acts chapter, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now you say, but things that are happening in my life, they don't feel good. It doesn't say that. He says that it can work to good. Yes, there's pain. We're not negating it. Sometimes things are unpleasant in our life. And God doesn't say the thing that's unpleasant is good. No, it's unpleasant. It's not enjoyable. You know, it's like in the New Testament, it says we're to give thanks in all things, not for all things. If something bad happens, you're not thankful for that. But in that time, you can still be thankful to God. The same is true with this. All things can work together for good. Now that might take some time, but let's not question him. And by the way, I'll tell you, you know the reason they had to eat manna for 40 years? Whose fault was that, Brother Ross? Why was it their fault? It didn't take 40 years to get from Egypt to Canaan. It took 11 days. Okay? That was temporary provisions. That was temporary. The reason they had to eat it for 40 years is because they chose not to go into the promised land. Don't blame that on God. Next, this is good. Unrealistic memories. Man, aren't the good old days good? And the farther away they get, the gooder they get. Okay? The good old days were lame. Seriously, they were lame. But we think they're better. Look at verse 5. We remember the fish. By the way, why anybody would eat fish is beyond me. Say, well, Jesus ate fish. He walked on water too. Go do that. Okay. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Come on. Listen to this buffet. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics, the burritos, the tacos. It was all good. I mean, brother, it was like hometown buffet every single meal. And it was free. We didn't even have to tip. And the drinks were included. I don't remember that about Egypt. Do you? I thought in Egypt they were in misery. I thought in Egypt they were in bondage. I thought they cried out to God in misery for God to get them out of there because it was horrible. It wasn't all-you-can-eat buffet and party time. But isn't that how we are? By the way, let me say this. And you that got saved later on in life, your old life wasn't that good. You remember all the fun we had? Remember, Steve, when you weren't saved, all the things you used to do? Yeah, I remember the things I used to do. It wasn't fun. Oh, but it was. No, it wasn't. The best thing I ever did was start serving Christ. That's when the joy came. But so we'll start. You know, before I was a Christian, it just seemed like things were better. I know, we remember the fish, the leeks, the melons, and all the other stuff. It wasn't better. You didn't know God. You had no relationship with him. Let's not fall for those unrealistic, false memories. And maybe if there was one or two good things, there was a whole bunch of junk packed around it. I think some of us need to remember where we came from. Sometimes Christians get saved and they get into church, they get cleaned up, and people come in that aren't cleaned up, and if we're not careful, we'll snub our nose at them. Hey, buddy, where were you? I know what I look like when I came into church. I didn't look like a choir boy. That's why I didn't want to go to church. I'm like, man, the girls look funny, and the people act weird, and I went in. They all had shirts and ties on. I had painter pants. Those were like the big thing back in the day. I remember those. It's like, you know, T-shirt and painter pants, and I had hair back then. It was good. That's the one thing that I can remember, and that is true. I had hair. But I'm in there, and I'm like, I don't fit in here. But you know what? The people made me feel so comfortable. And so let's not get our spiritual nose in the air. But quit looking back at your old life and thinking, you know what? That was pretty good. No, it wasn't. Whenever you face hard times in the present, we glorify the past so we can whine about what's going on right now. And the past wasn't that good. So that don't look there. Number next, and lastly, they were unthankful for their provisions. Verse 6, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. By the way, think about it. That manna had everything they needed. You know, we look around now, it's like, you know, you have to have this to have the proper nutrition. You know, this has all the vitamins that are packed in that you need. Well, you know what? That one thing had everything you needed. They didn't have the Food Association stamp on it. God just threw it down there and said, that's good stuff. Eat it. Angel food. Amen? I mean, they didn't even need vitamins. It's just like, boom, no gravy, no bacon. It's all built in. It's right there, ready for you. But they weren't thankful for what they had. That's really the biggest thing. When we're complaining about anything, what we're saying is we're not thankful about what's going on right now. Complaining keeps us about thinking about what's going on right now that's pretty good. That's why they got all messed up about the past. You know, serving God is a good thing. No matter how hard things get, serving God's good. And by the way, whether or not you serve God, you're still going to have problems in your life. Things still come your way. You know what's nice, though? You got God right there. It reminds me of Asaph in Psalm chapter 73. He was envious at the wicked when he saw what he thought was prosperity. This is David's song leader. This is the guy, the music leader. And this guy is to the point where he's like, serving God is not even worth it anymore. Because he was looking at all these unsaved people and they have prosperity and they have all this stuff that I don't have. And he started to complain. And then he says, but until I went to the sanctuary, then I understood the end. He goes, you know what? Their end isn't going to be very good. And I have a relationship with God, and that's good. Whenever we start to feel we need to complain, let's not complain about what we have. Let's thank God for what he's doing in our life. Let's thank God. Say, but, you know, I know this other, and they have all this. This is where we're at. Well, you know, I saw this couple over there, and it just seems like his wife is so much better than my wife. No, they're all the same. Just kidding. You know, well, if I ditch her, I can go get this. By the way, this is free. Whenever someone wants to leave what they have now, it's not because they want to leave what they have now. It's because they want something different. They want someone else. And that someone else, once they get married, is going to be a lot like what they had. Okay, just love God and work it out. Okay? If you're married, you have the right one. I don't think she's the right one. Does she have a ring on her finger? Yeah, she's right. She's the right one. But we complain. Well, I wish my children were like, listen, those children may be dressed, but they're children. Their children don't walk on water. Love your kids. Be thankful for what God is doing in your life. And then we won't complain about what we don't have. Because when we complain about what we don't have, we're not enjoying anything. We're miserable. And as we have said about it, it makes us discontent. And a discontent person will always be discontent no matter what they have, because they've got their eyes off of focusing on what God's doing in their life and giving them now and focusing on what they don't have. And so if they get more, they're always going to look and say, yeah, but I would like to have more. That's just the way it works. We bang on the children of Israel a lot, don't we? But I'll be honest with you, they are a lot like us, aren't they? And so we need to fight it. Let's be very careful and let's be thankful for what God is doing in our life and has given to us. Let's all stand.